Hi, welcome back. Good to have you here as we go into the unknown, the secret persuasion tool you probably haven't even thought about. Metaphors. Crazy, off-the-charts persuasion tools. Let's talk about them, why they work, how to use them. Let's get into it.
Maximize your influence. Kurt Mortensen is the author of Persuasion IQ, Laws of Charisma, and the best-selling book, Maximum Influence.
Awesome. This is podcast 506. Tell your family, friends, and enemies about the podcast. We're here because these are skills we should have learned in school. But I want to make sure you're out there as you persuade, influence, negotiate, close, whatever it is you do. We all influence for a living as parents, teachers, leaders, managers. Whatever it is you do, keep the score. You have to know exactly how well you're doing. Are you improving? Are you going backwards? In sales, it's known as your close rate. If you talk to 10 people, 3 are interested, you close 1, you've influenced 1, that's 10%. That's so important that you do that so you can make plans to improve, to see what you're doing well, what you can change. See, in too many persuaders where they're just guessing, they're just thinking. If you're a manager, if you're a leader, is it retention? Is it some type of evaluation you do every month, every year? That's the key. So let's get into it. The persuasion this time, a ninja. I love this one. I don't remember where I heard it or if it's even true, but it does illustrate a great point of persuasion. So there's this man, really loved his house, loved his yard, loved his garden, and loved even more his flowers. He would weed, he would fertilize, these things would grow. He had the best yard, best flowers in the neighborhood. And when the kids would come home from school, they'd walk by the house and pick the flowers. Why? I don't know. That's what kids do. I've got my kids doing it. It's just how it is. They're beautiful. They want to take it home. They pick the flowers. So this man would yell at the kids, and of course the kids would run. And when someone does that, as a kid, you know, you probably want to pick them more, make sure they're not looking. And they kept picking them. So finally, out of frustration, one day the man saw the kids coming and says, "Hey, kids, come here." You know, this day and age, a man saying, "Hey, kids." Hopefully he didn't say, "I have candy." But he says, "Come here, I've got something for you. I don't like these flowers. Could you pick them for me? I'll pay you." And they're like, "Really?" Like, "Yeah, I'll pay you 10 cents for every flower you pick. But you can only pick 3 a day." And they started picking them. He would pay them. They'd come to his door, and he'd actually pay them to pick the flowers. And then after a week, he said, "Oh, you know what? I can't pay you anymore." I'm like, "Oh, well, then we're not going to pick them anymore." Hello, reverse psychology. You have to understand with rewards that once you reward somebody for doing something, they're not going to do it. And he used this powerful persuasion tool in the opposite direction. Because rewards are great. They're fast, they're easy, and they work. But once they're gone, people won't do it anymore. Children in elementary school, they're not reading. What do? Oh, if they read, we'll give them a pizza party, and they do. But now they're not going to read without pizza. College kids, they give these really fun puzzles. They just play with them. They were just fun. Why not? But once you pay them to play with those puzzles, they will not play with them if you don't pay them. So think about how you can use that in a strategic way. If you're going to use rewards, make sure they're a surprise. They don't become an expectation. And understand they have diminishing returns. They work the first couple, 2, 3, 4, 5, maybe 10 times. But then people expect it and sometimes even expect more. Man, if you take away end of the year bonuses, look out. It's a bonus. No, it's not. It's an expectation. In fact, I worked for a university that every December would give us a big turkey, and one year, oh, not in the budget, and they gave us a book. If you're a professor, last thing you need is another book. And of course, there was a little mutiny over a gift, over a gift. Think about it, use it. It's a powerful persuasion tool. And this brings us to our weekly listener email.
Oh boy!
This is Sarah, not even going to try the last name. She's a transplant in Sweden. She says, "Kurt, you're always talking about stories and the power of stories and how well they work. Many times I'm on the phone talking to someone the first time. I only have a few minutes. What if I don't have time for a story?" Great question. We're going to answer it. And that's going to bring us what we talked about earlier is metaphors. So let's talk about these metaphors. But first, Sarah, and this is for anybody, email me at Kurt, K-U-R-T, at MaximizeYourInfluence.com. If I use anything, any suggestion, humor on the podcast, you get the free gold version of InfluenceUniversity.com. Pretty much everything I've done. You have libraries, you have videos, you have structured training, all in one spot. So let's get into that geeky, scholarly article, which of course is on metaphors. If you don't have time for a story, let's talk about metaphors. So this comes from the Journal of Brain Research. Of course, all these links in your free Persuasion IQ assessment are at MaximizeYourInfluence.com. So Journal Brain Research and ScienceDirect.com did research on these metaphors. So they did these MRIs on the brain, this brain imaging, and they found that when you hear metaphors such as "she had a rough day," regions of the brain associated with tactile experience or touch were activated. Rough, right? Rough day. So the touch tactile part of your brain activate. If they heard "she's so sweet," those areas associated with taste were activated. Isn't that crazy? So when you hear action verbs used in a metaphorical context, like grasp a concept, the regions of the brains involved with motor perception are activated. And they say, and this one's hard to believe, but hey, they did the research. On average, we use a metaphor every 20 words. And let me add, and you have to understand, the more parts of the brain that you activate, the more they pay attention, the more they're going to remember, and the easier to persuade them. So they looked into it, how the brain processes metaphors and other types of languages. And so they were studying how the brain acted when they heard those, grasp the idea, bend the rules. And it was interesting, they took the participants, and they had a computer, and they saw three different sentences, one word at a time. The first one was, "the bodyguard bent the rod," "the church bent the rules," and then "the church altered the rules." So two had the same meaning, "the church bent the rules" and "the church altered the rules." So the participants saw the word "bent." Of course, that's literal and metaphorical. The sensory motor region of the brain was activated almost immediately, within 200 milliseconds of the verb appearing on the screen. And so "bent" had more impact than "altered." You know, that's one of the laws of persuasion, verbal packaging. Every word you use can attract or repel, and they're saying every word you can use can trigger different parts of the brain. See, language comprehension is fast, at the rate of 4 words per second. That's how fast your brain is cruising. And you remember, we've talked about that great, charismatic, influential people talk at a faster rate because your brain can handle it. And as you know, it gives your audience less time to think of counter arguments. So if you want to activate the tactile touch part of the brain, an old flame boiling mad, chill out, cold as ice, or sight, feeling blue, you light up my life, colorful remark, shady character, taste, bittersweet memories, and on a sour note, you're giving me something to chew on. Smell, love stinks, sweet smell of success, the stench of failure. Sound, the world is listening. Her words rang true. All part of it. So let's get into this. I mean, really, what is a metaphor? We hear about metaphors, analogies, and similes, and they all kind of blend and mix into most people's brains. So a metaphor is a figure of speech that makes a comparison between two unlike things by stating that one thing is another. A simile uses like. Not having a personal development program is like a bucket with a hole in it. Metaphors assert a direct resemblance between the two things. Just like we talked about, life is a journey. Love is a battlefield. Love and battlefields don't go together, but when you combine them, that makes sense. The world is a stage. He has a heart of stone. So heart and stone have nothing to do with each other, but put them together, it makes a difference. The classroom was a zoo. He is the shining star of our team. So it's a metaphor. He is compared to shining star. They have nothing to do with each other, but he is shining brightly like a star. Time is a thief. So time is compared to thief, get nothing to do with each other, suggests that time takes away moments or opportunities in a similar way that a thief steals possessions. So metaphors are used to add depth, creativity, language, light up different parts of the brain. That's why this is so important. So we've talked about stories and how important they are. We know that stories grab attention, keep people's attention. They simplify complex ideas. They trigger emotions, which are more persuasive than logic. They demonstrate who you are. People get to know you better, and they persuade under the radar. They persuade without detection. So if you don't have time for a story, what can you do? Well, you can say, imagine this, picture this. That can trigger different parts of the brain. Visual aids can help you out. Having a theme, better than anything, are these metaphors we're talking about. So metaphors are highly influential. Why? They make abstract or hard-to-understand concept easy, relatable, because you're linking a new idea to something physical, something familiar. They make complex topics easier. You can visualize it. You can understand it. It's easier for the human brain to grasp it. So it makes learning and memory retention easier. Remember with persuasion that your prospect has to see it visually before it happens physically. The universe will not reward you physically until you see it mentally. That's what Apple had to do when they first came out with their computer, because it was so abstract, it was so different than anything. And so they would just simplify it. This is your desktop. This is your trash can. This is your file cabinet. Like, oh, I've got those already. It made sense to people. Now, those aren't metaphors, but that's what a metaphor can do. Metaphors help people understand these complex concepts by relating them to something familiar. So metaphors juxtapose these hard-to-understand ideas like world, love, life with simple, concrete, easy-to-understand concept like stage, battlefield. And when you do that, they grasp these hard-to-understand concepts. In fact, Stephen King, the famous author, said, metaphors enable us to see an old thing in a new and vivid way. And as we talked about, metaphors engage multiple parts of the brain. Remember we talked about rough day? Stimulates the tactile part of your brain. This enhances retention and engagement. Stories, for example. Now, it's probably lighting up 3-4 parts of the brain. Stories, again, stories are always better. In fact, I'd probably use both if you can during your presentation, but you don't have time, use a metaphor. If you're using logic and facts, that, if you're lucky, lights up 1 to 2 parts of the brain. Stories light up 7 parts of the brain. That's why they're so powerful. Now, metaphors are kind of in the middle, but at least it's better than just facts and figures lighting up 2 parts of the brain. Metaphors also create surprise. 2 unlike things coming together creates a sense of novelty and captures attention. The unexpected comparison prompts deeper cognitive processing. So surprise has always been a great persuasion and influence tool. For example, if you need a seat on a subway and you see somebody going down the row, can I have your seat? No, can I have your seat? No. It prepares you for you to stay down, but when you're surprised, you're more likely to give up your seat. Supermarkets, you're walking down the aisle and this coupon comes flying out of this machine, has a motion detector, whoa, grabs your attention. Beggars know that if they can surprise you, they're more likely to get a donation. So there is something about surprise. Also, they crank up the emotions, those emotional connections. Metaphors use vivid imagery and they can trigger emotional reactions and personal associations. Again, they're more memorable, more relatable. And again, emotions are always more persuasive than logic. So when you appeal to these emotions, metaphors can engage and captivate your prospect, making the message more memorable and impactful. You see in the power of a metaphor? Again, stories are always top of the list. Remember to use those, but if you're running out of time or you're feeling you're dealing with a very logical person, at least insert a metaphor. They can reveal underlying meanings. When you use a good metaphor, they highlight the key similarities between 2 unlike things, revealing a deeper conceptual truth in an intuitive way. Basically, they can alter perception of concepts at a subconscious level. So you're doing this, it happens below the radar, can transform how they think about things. So you use a metaphor, it's triggering the subconscious mind, which remember, up to 95% of influence involves a subconscious trigger. So they're not consciously thinking about that metaphor, But under the radar, subconsciously, it's changing the way they think about things. And metaphors are sticky. What does that mean? They stick in people's minds. We've all heard feeling blue, delicate as a flower. He was a pig at dinner. Sour note, bright idea, dark secret. Heated debate, warm reception. Love stinks. So with the stickiness, easy to remember, easier to tell others, makes sense, creates mental images and associations. Meaning if it's a persuasion process, the next time it's going to be easier to persuade them. So when you use these metaphors, it just frames information in their conscious and subconscious mind, and it shapes attitudes, beliefs, and behaviors. And when you can do that, that leads to change, to sales, to persuasion, to influence, to action. Another cool thing about metaphors is they're universal. Metaphors are universally acceptable across the globe, different cultures and languages. I've noticed this as I've traveled around the world. I talked to my translators ahead of time, and I would say most metaphors translate straight across. So different cultures, different languages understand these. They make sense. But it's interesting that most cultures use some of the same metaphors. So this can transcend cultural barriers, make communication easier, and make comprehension easier. So think about this. Stories first. Off the charts, persuasion influence tool. Persuades without detection. If you can't use a story, trigger different parts of the brain by, say, picture this, imagine, visualize with me. Using a theme throughout your presentation can also help. Visual aids can also help. But again, if you don't have a story, use metaphors. So if you don't have any, use a search engine or AI. Ask the people you work with. Just kind of think about two different things, how they come together. But here are a few tips to use metaphors. Understand your audience. Tailor your metaphors to resonate with their values, their interests, their experiences of your target audience. Don't pull words that they don't understand, that they don't get, that they don't use. Try to use words or metaphors that are in their world that they get. It could be sports, it could be nature, it could be a variety of different things. Consider their needs and their pain points and craft your metaphors that will engage and captivate them. Use metaphors that paint the picture, that are descriptive. Now, paint the picture, of course, is making it come alive. They can see it, taste it, touch it, feel it. Help your audience visualize the benefits of your product, your service, by comparing it to something familiar and appealing. That's a key. Don't compare it to something abstract, weird, that they never think about. Something familiar, something appealing, something they want. And then ask yourself, does this metaphor invoke the right emotion you want? Is it a positive emotion, a positive feeling associated with that metaphor that will associate with your product or service? Tap into your prospect's desires, their dreams, to create emotional connection with that metaphor that will motivate them to action. And if you can't use a metaphor that will demonstrate, that will show or illustrate the advantages of your product or service, how it can solve their problems and fulfill their needs. And if your prospect has an area during your presentation where they don't get it, that they get confused, remember, a confused mind says no. Try to come up with a metaphor that will simplify complex ideas. How can you compare it to something they understand? Oh, that's like a cell phone tower. That's like an ATM. That's like peeling an onion. Whatever it is, make it simple. And understand, with persuasion, simple is always more influential than complex. So add this to your toolbox of persuasion and influence. It can be that simple. Story first, if not metaphors, or even better, use both. That's podcast 506. All the links that I use on the podcast are available there. But go to maximizeyourinfluence.com, take your free persuasion IQ assessment. Also, you'll find the link to get access to influenceuniversity.com. There is a free version, but the special is lifetime membership. Pretty much everything I've done, one spot, 52-week advanced program for $97. Usually it's a monthly membership, switching it up. You save over 60%. Check it out. Become part of the inner circle. Master these skills. These skills are critical. So take something from today. Use it. Master it. Become more influential, become a better negotiator, become a better leader. Understand the power of metaphors and stories and go out and persuade with power.